This is the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows podcast, August 2018, in which Alma does matter.
So, the choice I had made may seem strange to you, but who asked you anyway? It's my life to wreck my own way.
Hello, this is Daryl War. And I hope you enjoyed 17. It looks like quite a few of you did. I would also like to welcome Beetlejuice fans, possibly raising your eyebrows. What is this? Oh dear. Or anybody new to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I've seen quite a few people download and everything. And just to let you know, yeah, bad things happened. And we want them to stop, but don't jump to conclusions. There's a lot more information going on.
And I wasn't going to make another update, but then I just got so swamped, and I'm sure after y'all got 17, waiting a couple years for that, you might want to get the up and up on how things are going. I am really busy doing stuff. You know, personal upkeep, letters, running errands, more LibriVox chapters. Yes, I'm working on that again too, and grateful to do so, because as you know, before I started this, that's what I was real busy doing after work or sometimes before work. I just always wanted to do that. Now that I have removed myself from a lot of the social media nonsense, looking at what other available options to keep the spice of life going. Variety. And so then there's also script writing and ruminating the marriage novel. Reading a few other friends' works and being a good audience member to them. I don't like critiquing, to the point I don't even like offering that to others. Why suffer more unhappiness than we have to, you know? So, I was just wiping myself out last night, getting the script for 19 more or less finished. I'm not sure if there's going to be any kind of fun song. It's interesting with 18 and 19, they both sort of end anticlimactically, but then we've been watching a lot of Dark Shadows and other shows, and with Dark Shadows sometimes, yeah, it just kind of ends on a whatever. So I'm like, yeah, fits, right? So I'm not too worried about that. Things are probably going to pep up a bit more around 20, just trying to get started again, and I am going, and we're back on the road and all of that. But I have been pretty concerned just because everybody's changed so much, and it is very troubling, and I would think you on the other side of the speaker are also very troubled by it because of what we kind of endured together, even though everybody's kind of by themselves. I was telling somebody at my church that something they had spoken up about touched me greatly because there is a lot of work that's being done in trying to get everybody to get along with each other because it's just how things manage, everybody getting along. It's why we have good manners and need to practice them. And I know that I've been there where sometimes, and I didn't know why they would do it. I had friends many years ago, and they would do the pleasantries. And then as soon as you get out of the store or whatever, they're starting to badmouth whoever the cashier was. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're telling me this, then gosh, what are you saying when I leave? That's why being mean and criticizing people, it doesn't mesh well. But to find a way to have those good manners, try to find out how to formulate them. And I was letting her know that a great deal of some of the talk reminded me of what I'd been through, even though it was a different situation, because I was being told what to feel. And that is really bad form. Very terrible. I mean, everything got arranged to the point where, all right, celebrate yourself. And then it got a little too crazy with that, the narcissism, and also the criticizing of others. It has gotten quite bad, and practically to the point where entertainers don't even want to bother entertaining people, because, okay, we're just going to get yelled at and criticized, and what good is that? When you do that, then people don't want to be good and generous to you no more. that's been weighing on my mind a lot because I'm a great deal out of it, but the baggage is there and the baggage ain't going away. But things are getting better. I have said in previous podcasts that saying, no one writes letters anymore, I've been listening to that since the 1980s, which is most of my life. And I know that it's not true. And some people fell out of practice in it because of one thing and another coming up in their life. But it continues. And that's what's been helping me out. And I think a lot of people got the idea that everybody's online. It's much less expensive than it used to be to do that. Just not recognizing there's this other set of people. And now Daryl is bringing her grievances from the online audience to the paper audience. And being able to really see that, well, it's not likely. And that could be something that is difficult to handle. Getting all high and mighty with somebody because you think you know what's what. And the reality is, you're having a lot of your life experiences extracted for the sake of advanced technology that's extremely easy to use. And it gets to the point where, why bother being alive? It's going to be this easy. And that's part of being human, is actually wanting the challenge. But what's scary is that the kids raised on this, not all of them are tied to the apron strings of mommy internet, but quite a few are. And a lot of us who are older and grew up with letter writing and phone calls, things outside of the internet to get by, we can go back in a similar way as, well, car's broken down, I gotta get the bicycle out and remember how to ride it. Really learn for a long time. But for some of the younger people, of course, it's much more of a concern because there's no back for them to go to. They're used to relying on this stuff almost completely. So we have got our work cut out for us. And I wanted to address that situation. And also for people possibly feeling bad, you know, how could I have done this to Daryl? Because that's a lot of bystanders. And just letting themselves go and giving more credence to the gossip than was necessary, or maybe spreading the gossip, because, you know, I do check the statistics, and I see sometimes, at such and such time, or, you know, when I'm trying to make a friend, suddenly one of the nasty venting log entries gets hit. Somebody is talking to somebody else. I'm not sure who it is, but knock it off. In fact, one of the nastiest ones that used to get hit a lot, I changed the beginning to where I was focusing, look, here's 10 other positive options that can be looked at. And if you continue on to the nasty, well, it's because you prefer scandal. You prefer to be upset. You prefer to look for the bad instead of the good in people. And that is not my fault. It's like this old saying, we're not really sure who we're quoting, and maybe nobody really said it. Somebody must have made it up if nobody famous said it. When you look for the bad in people, expecting to find it, you surely will. That is one of the facts of life. So, there is no better role model to look to than the reluctant vampire. Barnabas would be fine. It's one of the reasons I've been so surprised that anyone wanted to write for him, especially if you don't like him. It's like, well, have you written for other reluctant vampires before? Daryl War has. And that's why when everybody's shocked, oh my gosh, you got him right in first person? Yeah. I practiced and practiced and practiced with my own vampires. That's why I was a little disappointed with Barnabas, frankly, because I grew up on much more blatant vampires. You saw everything, and nobody danced around the word vampire. Gosh, even a Spider-Man cartoon years ago, it was great because there was some sort of vampire thing going on. But this guy who was informing Spider-Man about it kept saying Nosferatu. And when he kept saying Nosferatu, finally, Spider-Man cracked me up as I expected. That's why I turned it on. I'm like, he's going to make me laugh. And he says, a German rock band? I knew the German rock band. In fact, they even have a song, Sucker for Your Love, that is just wonderful. Pretty funny. They didn't expect it from Nosferatu, the band, to make that song, but it was just wonderful. Yeah, you got a really good role model in The Reluctant Vampire, because The Reluctant Vampire is a reflection of ourselves. if anyone has done any studies about this. It's very prevalent in a lot of that work. Barnabas is possibly not the original prototype, but he's a big prototype for the reluctant vampire. And a lot of what that means is being very aware as human beings that we are a life that feeds off of other life. Now, on one level, yeah, nuts, fruits, vegetables, okay, and fish, fowl, even mammals. But furthermore, much furthermore, is that we are the type of predator that preys on each other a lot of the time. And the reluctant vampire is very aware of that. So that's why it's so important. Because if any of you have pets, particularly cats, you know very easily that a cat does not feel remorse when it kills a bird or a mouse or some other pest. That's its instinct. Humans are the ones who feel that remorse. And so the reluctant vampire is a reflection of that. Being aware of his or her flaws, it makes sense that living in a time of great narcissism, Barnabas Collins would be hated because he's a big reminder of personal flaws, holding himself accountable. Not always, because we are working with soap opera here, but especially with the lust issue. And that was why I was really impressed with the post-ruckus romance scene in the 2012 film, because Depp was able to give that huge look of shame. I did it again. I did it again. I don't have caring emotional feelings for this woman, and I did it again. And I've seen that. I've seen that look. That's why it's so much worse when somebody starts to insult the person that they fold around with, because it's this way to shield themselves from feeling shame. Well, you feel some shame, and you won't do it again. You don't have to insult the person after the fact. These days, yeah, there's just a lot of that going around, and encouraging people to criticize people they don't know or somebody who's entertaining them. Do it this way, do it that way, redo it. Well, that's not going to win you any prizes nor make the work go faster. So, I mean, everybody's encouraging that kind of stuff. And then on top of that, been discussing this with a couple of friends, we all agree, ignore the haters. It's the worst advice. And I don't know how some of the recent schooling has been going. I've seen some horror stories. But ignore the haters didn't work at school for a lot of us, and it doesn't work on the internet. And also, I'm addressing when I was surrounded by such horrible behavior in people, yet that's a reflection. So being badly treated by an audience that doesn't know how to discuss what they like anymore and are just throwing memes and pictures and all of this nonsense, but they will complain about who they don't like. And they could be very effusive and descriptive in the negative. And my being exposed to bad and more bad brings out more bad. But even so, as that was infiltrating my world, and it was coming out of me, I would still try to address, I'm angry, and these are the reasons I'm angry. That is something that we are rediscovering in children's programming, what was being taught. How do you feel? And how do you deal with how you feel? And here's some possible answers if you're not sure about either how you feel, or when you discover what it is, how you manage it. So yeah, everybody being left to their own devices. We are not like other animals. It takes a lot of care and time to bring up a healthy human child. Some animals, if you watch nature specials, it doesn't take too long before they're up and walking around after they're born. Human beings? Uh-uh. You gotta build up a whole lot of time. And if we lose sight of that and get totally lazy and say things like, oh, the kids will just pick everything up on their own. No. It's gotten to the point where people who are older than me have forgotten the good manners and forgotten how important it is to make sure people get the proper training. That makes me wonder, well, why even go to school? Why have credentials? Just go ahead and
just be a medical physician, just randomly.
Well, I'll just trust that. Oh, he just picked it up. Or she did. Dang, we forgot a whole lot. Be that as it may, if you feel bad, well, think about your environment and what you were surrounded by, and if you can extract yourself from some of those terrible temptations, you know, such as social media or always having your smartphone on,
Or get, if you can get a flip phone, it might be better. I'm trying to get back into the swing of possibly memorizing phone numbers again, because that was really good for me. But yeah, if you're feeling bad about coming to the realization of how I've been treated, and that possibly you were involved in that, if you can reach that point, it would be good to know for me. And it might also be good for other people to know, because you are not alone if you're feeling that way. And to me, that is more of a possible responsibility to my audience than giving you more fun and games. It's just to try and educate or re-educate you. There have been a lot of bad things, and you have possibly been part of them. And that's why I point out, if you write me letters, good job. You didn't run away screaming, and you were aware this person needs companionship. And there are some other pen pals, and I know everybody's getting busy, but yeah, also if potential pen pals are listening, where we wrote a little bit and then you went and did the sleuthing, so to speak, and got the wrong impression from just a little bit of content, or you got scared because it's like, well, this person's so talented, why is everybody treating her like crap? Like, it's a good question. It's a good question. But then the monkey see, monkey do thing, oh dear, you know, somebody's, you know, she's done this, or there's this crowd of people. Well, when you listen to a lot of these podcasts that I do, the understanding breaks through that I was attempting to find my audience through the madhouse social media has evolved into, and that audience was exposed and a part of it. The madhouse, that is. You discover that part of it is the technology becoming monetized by a lot of major companies. And the advertisers, I mean, they already knew how to get us a great deal with television. And that's one of the reasons that we would make fun of commercials, because it would just drive us nuts what they would attempt with the way too smiling faces. We're like, jeez, it's not that great. It's just laundry detergent, for heaven's sake. But they knew how to hook people in. And when you got tech wizards getting involved in that, oh yeah, mad scientists. But the bottom line is, it starts to make a lot of society fall apart. And when that happens, the tools don't work anymore. And friendships die. And relationships suffer. And it's not good for business. Much less life in general. So knowing what you've been exposed to, just try to go over some of the stuff that you've been through. And see if you can work it out. And I know that if you're still listening and you've been a long-time listener and you've noticed the changes that some of this new technology rather made you adapt to either rely on it or get nasty, step away then and really just digest that. And like I yell at the screen with Barnabas, you know, try to find what actually is your fault. Blame yourself for that. Learn from it. Don't discard it. And we have to try to pick up the pieces. And we also have to try to get a lot of these kids who have been using this tech during their formative years to be taught how to function and take care of themselves. That is my pep talk. I'm going to get to some fun stuff. If anybody remembers, I do my best to try and keep within the 6,000 word range per episode. So some stuff that Oisin suggested for a little romantic interlacing with Bill and Liz will probably be put off till later. There will be a scene in 19 with them. Also, Carolyn pointing out Hoffman's getting romantically involved with Professor Stokes. That also was saved for later, just because I saw, I'm not sure how to end this. And I thought, well, if it's just kind of going to the house, yeah, you know, then we don't have to have the continuation. Other than the baggage and everything being so shocking, not only with what's happened to me in this project, but also just life in general, plenty of people who are still suffering, having precious people removed from their lives due to what's going on right now. The technology is what I mean. I know there's more, because that's been going on a lot longer. But other than that, yeah, it's taking more time just because it's more directly the television shows than blending them together and really looking at the source material and sprucing it up here and there. In fact, you know, I was getting tired of all that screaming and crying on Dark Shadows. Boy, it got pretty heated on Bewitched the other day for me. Oh my gosh, I was worried. Like, I know that this show goes on several years longer, but I was worried about Darren and Samantha's marriage. I was like, man, it's getting sinister here. I mean, this is really
problematic. And of course, it was to do with no witchcraft here, no witchcraft there. And it's like, but when it's convenient for Darren, which everybody goes, it's just like, no, no. If you don't adhere to your own ground rules, you are not going to be admired. And then, of course, you know, there was a lot of business stuff and Larry Tate and some other person who was entertaining them, and all the guys were being jerks. And they knew it. I mean, their wives pointed it out in great ways sometimes, but the men owned up, and that was very nice to see. The men, they realized, yeah, I was just being terrible. But boy, I got heated on that show. I was like, man, I think I want to watch some Dark Shadows to relax after these episodes of Bewitched. But other than that, it's been pretty nice. And Ghost of Mrs. Muir, too, where I'm just like, my goodness. Boy, that monkey puzzle tree. Oh, heated. Along with all the other stuff in that episode where she's taking stuff out of the house. And I'm just thinking, you know, am I going to see this furniture magically come back? Because they're complaining about it, but they're not going to use that as a prop. A bad piece of furniture. What's wrong with some of the furnishings? And it's like, well, it looks perfectly wonderful. I'd like it. But that's because it's a prop. You know, there's nothing really wrong with it. They're just going around the story. And I actually did look up monkey puzzle trees just to go, is that what it looks? I mean, we're not really seeing the tree here. And I looked it up and it doesn't seem to look anything like what was on the Ghost of Mrs. Muir. But, you know, you got to do something to make for that kind of an interesting story. And monkey puzzle trees, I think, are still on the... Basically, we're worried about their continuation, so... And they look like great trees, actually. If you look up a monkey puzzle tree, I'm like, wow, that actually looks like it would cause the least bit of trouble. It just, I mean, it looks like if you used it as a Christmas tree, it would be one of the easiest Christmas trees to decorate. You wouldn't have to fiddle with all this stuff in between on its own. Almost looks fake. But anyway, just getting back to that, just trying to tell myself, okay, what did I used to do? And I get all of this stress. It's like, well, watch some TV. The old stuff's better. I was watching Little Golden Girls, too, and I'm like, man, everybody's biting at each other. So, kids, if you watch The Golden Girls now, people didn't really behave that way. It's just to crack jokes for keep the show entertaining. A lot of people who live together could not behave that way and nitpick each other that badly. Let's see. What else? Oh, so, yeah, let's look at what I've got for 19. As F-Horse said, what was clipped here and there. Oh, a ton of Bewitched and a ton of other stuff. And I'm like, wow. I did a little bit of what I remembered of Diablos. I don't know if I even remembered his name. At the end of episode 7, that was me kind of shooting for that guy. Because I was like, well, it could be that guy, it could be the other guy. You know, somebody. Because I just saw demons and demons, demons. And now that I've really looked over Diablos, I'm like, I'm going to have to perform him. And he's going to take himself seriously, but it's pretty silly. In fact, when Angelique gets there, there's a bit of, what on earth happened to this place? And everybody just having a good time and then putting on Nicholas Blair's role at some point. Got to get the demo done for this. I'm not sure when my sweetie is up for that, but we will see. Milgen and Hecubus are doing it pretty darn well, too. I'm glad to be working with the boys again and still have them give me material that I feel is fitting. Been trying to watch more of those skits, too, just to try and make sure that I'm getting them as accurate as I can. When I said at the beginning, I just let them go, well, seemed like I did, but I was lifting almost directly when I got started, and that was good practice, just kind of pull from the Pit of Ultimate Darkness skits directly until I got the swing of it. And the Bill and Liz stuff, and I thought, well, you know, and as plus with me watching some of these situation comedies, man, these things happen real fast. Dark Shadows, they don't, so you kind of go, whoa, my head for a spin here. Or when I was watching MASH, too, I was like, man, that was fast. Relationships just splitting up within 5 minutes, but it's major stuff. You're like, whoa, okay. So it pulls in pretty good with what I've got, so I'm trying to figure out where to go with episode 20. I don't have a title for it, but it's nice to take things that I can't use in a previous episode, put them into the file for the next one, because then you always have kind of a starting point. Also, I tried to start a retrospective podcast for episode 15, and it just needs so much work. I was up late and stressed out and getting ranty and bleh. I don't have every right to be, but, it, you know, for some people who enjoy my rants,
I don't really enjoy them. I'm just getting out the frustration. I'm venting stuff. And that's how you stay mentally healthy. And that's also talking about what you enjoy with somebody that you see more or less eye to eye with. It's not always 100%. That's extremely healthy too. So there's mental agility involved. And that's one of the reasons I want to get people talking about what I'm doing, because that'll help you to do it in other factors of your life, possibly. I hope. So once upon a time, you know, you couldn't touch the stars, or whatever you want to call them, the entertainers, because there were too many people who wanted to. So you couldn't directly tell them what you're enjoying out of their entertainment. That's why people would, you know, write letters hoping. But these days, it's very possible to get in touch if they're interested in finding out what you enjoy. That's one of the sad things about clamming up and scaring a lot of the nicer folks who want to enjoy their entertainment and talk about it, telling them to rate and critique everybody or criticize them, basically, just training them to do that. Well, then who's enjoying themselves at all? So getting those people to clam up, we need those people. And I am also one of those people. So with 20, just more bewitched there. And one of the ideas that was coming to me last night, I haven't written anything down yet, was Chris Jennings. He's so overwrought with the responsibility of having this metamorphosis that happens to him. He doesn't remember how, and he doesn't remember who got hurt, and he tries to protect himself. One of the things I was thinking about as we go along with the Evans maybe figuring it out was, even if we lose a character, because I was thinking about one of them and I thought, well, that might be important just to relay, okay, this person has quite a bit in touch with Barnabas. It's just that Barnabas was conscious of it. And possibly having Maggie, who remembers Chris from quite a while back, and possibly Carolyn too, is to try and get Chris comfortable. You know what? It's bad news, but you're in the right place for it. Just add possibly with Caleb involved. So that was some of the ideas rattling around, and not having Tom be able to really manifest, and Caleb just explaining, well, he can't because he doesn't know how yet. He just got here, basically. So those are ideas. They're just little seed ideas that I'm playing with. Also, the stuff with Peter and Gomez, we'll see if that makes it into 20. Working title that I'm pretty sure I'm going to switch is Turn of the Hullabaloo, because you're going to get quite... I don't think that's going to be it, but it was just a fun idea. I'm not sure too much about the Gomez and Peter stuff that I was excited about before, because one of my long-term plans was that Peter was going to get the help that he needed for official records when they were leaving. But he could still just thank him for it, because it's some old script writing that I had from years ago. So we'll just continue onward with Peter and Victoria at the Adams, and hoping to keep the Adams family in for the long haul. Not constantly, but here and there, because they've been here and there in the pit a little bit. In 7, I remember when I was reading it to my husband many years ago. Gosh, that's terrible to say. It was years ago. I don't know about the word many. Could be, though, when you think about it. That when I'd finished the scene with the Adams family in episode 7, I turned to him and I said, that's about all I got right now for the Adams family. We're difficult. Because I think he was a little excited. Oh, they're gonna be in there, you know, and possibly for longer. That's some of the fun that's coming up. So yeah, I got a lot on my plate, and there are times where I do imbibe, and that would often be when I'd fall off the wagon and go, you know, use that particular website that I'm not gonna say, the social media one. But yeah, sometimes the temptation will hit, and usually my point of going, oh, let's check it out, is when I'm imbibing, and even now, on those levels, I'm like, what am I going to get out of it? Nothing. And so-and-so I can call on the phone, this person I can email, or I can write a letter to, you know, there's nothing there. And hopefully Hidden Objects is happy to hear that. Hopefully. I'm still over at Google Plus, because it's not as intrusive, it's just sort of there. Is there anything else I should appraise you? I wanted this to be short, but you know me, I'm verbose. And maybe y'all like that. With the other ideas I've had, the Margaret Josette Dupre podcast, I haven't checked the social network group in a while. There were 7 out of 12 votes that I got when I made the poll on the Barnabas Maggie group page.
That was really good. I want to go back in. I just have to really garner up my stamina to go in and look at it. For some of you who are just like, it's what I do after work. For me, it's major work to even look at that social media network because it's done so much extensive damage. Anyway, what I want to relay with the idea, I started a precursor Margaret Suzette Dupre podcast, and then I discovered I was doing an open mic and I just wanted to throw it away. I spent so much time on it. But what I really need for those of you who can email and still know how to do the correspondence and the letter writing and all that, for those of you who love it, I really need some help in trying to figure out how to format and organize how to do it. Because the book is at least 40 chapters long, so I only have a bare minimum of ideas of maybe I should do the marriage novel podcast in a way that is step by step with the chapters and what's going on in each chapter and going on with what the character's going through, one, two, what I'm going through with them, and three, the reviews so far. That's my idea right now, but if anybody can do the admit to whatever you've already not admitted to, come to me and say, all right, after I've done that, or whatever, just express, these are my ideas for how to organize the podcast for Margaret Suzette Dupre. And because the book is so long right now, perhaps it should be multiple podcasts. Because right now we have the marriage. I mean, it starts with the wedding day. And I want to expand on all of these factors, but it starts with the wedding day. And then it goes on to the experience of Josette reincarnated with Barnabas. And after a while, everybody has something to add, whether it's Wadsworth or Willie or Sam or that chapter that I just adore with Carolyn and Tony and Mrs. Muir, Tony's proposal, which Carolyn rejects in a way that is an acceptance. Very fascinating. There are so many facets to the novel, too. And I'm glad that it happened because it's easier to digest and then go to the pit of ultimate dark shadows afterward. And that is what I discovered with Melissa. She wasn't so worried about the pit of ultimate dark shadows. She just loved the novel, and then she found the pit of ultimate dark shadows and she couldn't get enough. But it's new territory, really. And I truly believe that's what the internet was always about. New territory. Star Trek 2, new territory. We are boldly going wherever the hell we're going. So that is what I need. If you love the novel and or The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and you are able to email, get in touch because I need help trying to figure out how to organize podcast or podcasts for the marriage novel. I do not mind at all talking about these things. I resigned the job that I had in 2013 to do all of this. So if you get in touch, you're not bothering me if you are interested in this work. It's weird, you know, this is why I did all this, but there are all kinds of stuff that would be great to go into with people who enjoy it. What's the point? Finding people of like mind and doing what we love to do. That was the point of all of this bloody technology. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I know for some of you who really love my work, it's going to be tough, but E for effort. Let me tell you some other good news here. Somebody reviewed The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and you can tell that she's probably on a mobile device, but she's been enjoying fan work for quite a long time. Some of her favorite shows fit really well in with how some of us newer fans understand Dark Shadows. And she said something that really, it's still like when I say a little bit goes a long way, her little bit is going a long way. She wrote, I only started watching Dark Shadows, but that did not stop me from listening to this podcast, and I'm glad that I made this decision. I love that whole thing, and so many things have made me laugh that I find it hard to pick just one. I'm so happy that you've decided to make this. I agree with you. Jason McGuire is/was the worst. That little bit, look how much greatness was in there. I had to switch it around when I was reading it because there are some grammatical errors, that kind of thing. But yeah, and I thanked her as briefly as I could and told her I was very grateful when Barnabas got rid of that guy. It's like, all right, I wasn't so sure about you, Barnabas Collins.
I like you now. you could still do wrong, but you're good in my book for wiping that guy out. And I'm sure Dennis Patrick, because he was trying to get off the show so much. And they wrote so much for him. O'Sheen was talking about Dennis Patrick being interviewed, and they say, they're giving me these page-long speeches. I guess they liked his meter or the way that he, his accent or something. So, yeah, I was so grateful. But overall, the point that I'm making with this little review is that, as little as it is, I mean, she said a lot, and it helps a lot just to get that little bit to understand who's with you, just to understand who you're talking to. Because, yeah, a lot of that just guesswork, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so dysfunctional, just really dysfunctional. What is going on? I remember working with other podcasters, and we were really trying to help each other out here and there, whether it was online or face-to-face. And just talking about like some of the grievances we had with things that we were being told that didn't make any sense. But yeah, you are supposed to get discussion. It's just good to know who you're talking to and who is interested in that kind of thing. And those social media schemes don't really work. I think Google Plus works better just because it's not as addictive. And I think it's because the Google company uses it. Like some of the employees, they don't want to make a product that they're going to have problems using and that they can't leave well enough alone. What is the old saying? Don't overdo it. But yeah, there is a lot of stuff that it's just basic practice in a human being. Everybody's got flaws. And if you're constantly picking on everyone's flaws, well, you're going to stand alone eventually. What I was saying earlier on this one about the friend that I had who was bad-mouthing people after he'd been nice to them on the other side of the register. Actually, I had multiple friends, and there were two highlights in what I'd seen over the years. So I definitely remember one chick doing this, but mainly this other guy. That's the stronger memory because it was more recent and it was more extreme. It was more blatant. And makes you think, what does he say when I'm not around? And that is one of the reasons that honesty is not always possible, but very often is the best policy. Being honest with yourself is a big one. It's very important to know, because I see that with people, rather than giving out how they feel and discussing it, possibly being worried that they're going to be argued with, so they look for a way to say somewhat how they feel that they won't get criticized for. And that eventually leads to just straight up lying, rather than looking for things we agree on. What similarities do we have? In fact, I had mentioned a movie, this was many years ago, to Jonah. I said, did you see this film? And it got him annoyed because he didn't like it. And he was like, it was terrible. And I was like, okay, next subject. End of story. We did not argue about this film. That's why people on a lot of those social media groups ban the topic of the 2012 movie. Because they're concerned that people are going to have a heart attack, metaphorically, and they don't want to deal with it. Well, it doesn't matter. Everybody's just been trained to criticize that thing so much. Oh, here's something I know how to do. Bash this film. Because they've just been surrounded with that. So you will have things that are completely off topic from that film, and everyone will just rattle around and start bashing it and whatever because they don't know what else to do. Because they've just been left to their own devices and really exposed to criticizing that film. So there you go. If you put that attitude out there, it'll come back at you from people who just don't know any better. So even when you put a ban on a subject, doesn't matter. It's going to come back and bite you. Because you're training people who just don't understand. That's why it's better to help to inform each other what's accurate and what's inaccurate. And that's one of the reasons we have the world that we have today. Minus the problems that are getting a bit too numerous with accuracy. You have to check your sources and not rely entirely on Mommy Internet. Mommy Internet is a machine. So, old listeners, new listeners, hopefully everybody's going to work things out. And I hope that a lot of you are keeping cool in the summer. If it's winter where you are, keeping warm. And take care of yourselves. To someone. Somewhere, oh yeah, I'm a matter in mind, body and soul, heart and in whole. So to someone, somewhere.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.